The Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said, "But I say to you that listen, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who abuse you. If anyone strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also. And from anyone who takes away your coat, do not withhold even your shirt. Give to everyone who begs from you. And if anyone takes away your goods, do not ask for them again. Do to others as you would have them do to you. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. If you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. If you lend to those from whom you hope to receive, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners to receive as much again. But love your enemies. Do good and lend, expecting nothing in return. Your reward will be great, and you will be children of the Most High, for he is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. Do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. For the measure you give will be the measure you get back." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Prayer of the day for today is based on the famous prayer attributed to St. Francis of Assisi. "Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is shadow, light. And where there is sadness, joy. O divine master, grant that I may not so much seek to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. For it is in giving that we receive, it is in pardoning that we are pardoned, and it is in dying that we are born to eternal life. Amen." There's a good chance that you've heard the prayer of St. Francis before, "Lord, make me an instrument of your peace." But have you heard the story of his courageous experiment in peacemaking? 800 years ago, this year, during the Fifth Crusade, Francis crossed the battle lines in Damietta, Egypt, to meet with Sultan Malik al-Kamil. A great deal of legend has sprung up around this event, and it's impossible to determine the exact nature of their encounter. Still, what we can know sheds light on how truly remarkable it was. Paul Moses, author of The Sultan and the Saint, makes the following observations. "I think one has to be careful about taking events from the distant past and applying them to the present. But I do see a lot of value in holding up Sultan al-Kamil as a model for Muslims and Francis for Christians. We know from the historical evidence that they managed to be courteous and friendly under terrible conditions. Francis never demonized Muslims in the way that was common in the Christian world at that time. He disarmed his rhetoric. And the Sultan was known for his goodness to Egypt's Christians. What's more, not only did he welcome Francis, but he also showed a generosity to the defeated crusade army that shocked its leaders, who believed he had to be a Christian in secret. The truth is that his treatment of Francis and his vanquished enemy came straight out of Islamic teachings, which the Sultan, a nephew of Saladin, knew well. In a medieval context of deep-seated religious hostility, the meeting between St. Francis and Sultan Al-Kamil was a sort of miracle. It must have required profound wisdom and self-discipline on the part of both figures, whose encounter, although it did not succeed in bringing the conflict to an end, at the very least demonstrated the possibility of peaceful relations between the Muslim and Christian worlds. It was an exercise in loving the enemy. Is there any simpler command of Jesus than to love the enemy? Is there anything more seemingly impossible? Enemies, after all, are identified in the first place by the factors that convince us to oppose them. And it's counterintuitive to love that which we oppose. This is especially true when the conflict is reinforced by violence and the pain and grief that come as a result. The love of enemy has long been ignored as an impossible ideal. And for that reason, it's rarely tried. Of course, this kind of love requires that we forfeit the gratification that comes from judging, resenting, antagonizing the other. Righteous indignation feels strong. And it's an incredibly vulnerable thing to approach the enemy from a different stance. But that's precisely the power of love. To love my enemy is to refuse to allow him to dictate the terms of our interaction. It is to not be provoked by evildoers, to borrow language from our psalm today, but to provoke a new and unexpected dynamic. Like St. Francis, St. Martin Luther King was practiced in loving his enemies. He published a now famous sermon on the subject, the wisdom of which I can't surpass with my own words. Probably no admonition of Jesus has been more difficult to follow than the command to love your enemies. Some men have sincerely felt that its actual practice is not possible. It is easy, they say, to love those who love you, but how can one love those who openly and insidiously seek to defeat you? Others, like the philosopher Nietzsche, contend that Jesus' exhortation to love one's enemies is testimony to the fact that the Christian ethic is designed for the weak and the cowardly, and not for the strong and courageous. Jesus, they say, was an impractical idealist. In spite of these insistent questions and persistent objections, this command of Jesus challenges us with new urgency. Upheaval after upheaval has reminded us that modern man is traveling along a road called hate, in a journey that will bring us to destruction and damnation. Far from being the pious injunction of a utopian dreamer, the command to love one's enemy is an absolute necessity for our survival. Love, even for enemies, is the key to the solution of the problems of our world. Jesus is not an impractical idealist. He is the practical realist. I am certain that Jesus understood the difficulty inherent in the act of loving one's enemy. He never joined the ranks of those who talk glibly of the easiness of the moral life. He realized that every genuine expression of love grows out of a consistent and total surrender to God. So when Jesus said, "Love your enemy," he was not unmindful of its stringent qualities. Yet he meant every word of it. Our responsibility as Christians is to discover the meaning of this command and seek passionately to live it out in our daily lives. Is there any simpler command of Jesus than to love the enemy? Is there anything more seemingly impossible? Yet, is there anything more critical to the survival and thriving of human community? Dear church, to love the enemy is not to acquiesce to him. On the contrary, to love the enemy is to preserve the possibility of his redemption, his transformation, even as it preserves the possibility of your own. After all, Jesus accomplishes God's redemption in this very way. "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." Met with curses, he responds with blessing. Crucified by hate, he is raised in love. And that love is the wellspring of our own courageous love, our own wisdom and self-discipline in the face of opposition, no matter how hopeless the circumstances may seem.